Chapter 5 Burn Down the Mission. Mission Misstatements. At some time or another, particularly in the early days of every startup company, it is almost inevitable that some investor or job applicant is going to ask, "So what is your company's mission statement?" It's the kind of question some people think is impressive to ask in an interview, although I beg to differ. In fact, I will be totally upfront and admit that I have never been a fan of corporate mission statements, many of which I find to be utterly blah truisms and anything but inspirational. With very few exceptions, they are something that have next to no bearing or influence on a company or its employees, and in many cases can in fact become a bit of a laughing stock. After all, if you work for the XYZ widget company, do you really need to be told that the mission of XYZ Widgets is to make the world's best widgets while consistently delivering excellent customer service? Frankly, if that's the best the company can come up with, they'd be better off working without the thing. Rather than inspiring one's people, such ho-hum statements only serve to draw a reaction of, why do they waste their time producing stuff like this? Before anyone even tries to come up with a mission statement, however, there is the little matter of actually considering your company's commitment and ability to live up to it. If neither of these conditions is present, then there's no point in trying to put lipstick on the pig by means of a fanciful pie-in-the-sky mission statement. When a business puts out some highfalutin mission statement that draws a roll of the eyes and a yeah-right reaction from every employee who reads it, then clearly the time and effort would be better spent writing the problem instead of writing the cover-up. The classic example of a major disconnect in this regard was evident in 2001 when the Enron Corporation went bankrupt, destroying the lives and savings of hundreds of thousands of employees and investors. At the time of its demise, Enron proudly sported the specious mission statement, "Respect, integrity, communication, and excellence." Maybe the less said the better. It's all Latin to me. My first contact with anything approaching mission statements was as a boy growing up in England. At the time, my greatest real-life hero was the Second World War Royal Air Force fighter pilot Douglas Bader. After seeing the movie Reach for the Sky several times, which told the legless Bader's incredibly heroic story, I remember asking my father about the RAF motto of Per Ardua Ad Astra. When Dad told me that it meant through adversity to the stars, my impressionable young brain seized onto it as the most inspirational thing I'd ever heard. There was something incredibly compelling about the notion of battling one's way to the stars, no matter how difficult the challenge. Much to the astonishment of my pals, I remember barreling along on my bike and bellowing, "Per Ardua Ad Astra!" to the heavens. Probably in much the same way as today's kids might use the wonderful Toy Story character Buzz Lightyear's mantra of "To infinity and beyond!" Something I know the Virgin Galactic crew think is really pretty cool. A few years later, at Stowe School, I came across my second mission statement of sorts in the school's motto of "Persto et Presto." As every new student had to learn on day one, this means I stand firm and I stand first. I need hardly point out how much silly giggling the first half of this motto generated among a group of pubescent schoolboys, but nevertheless, it was an excellent mission statement for young Stoics to take forward into adult life, and although I may have forgotten most things from school, this still resonates with me. It was also at Stowe where an English master, displaying zero sensitivity towards my dyslexia, once told me that I had the attention span of a gnat. He then amused himself further by adding, But there again, Mr. Branson, I'm probably being grossly unfair to the average gnat. It wasn't long after this that the same teacher was utterly taken aback to find me totally engrossed in Ernest Hemingway's classic, The Old Man and the Sea. What I am sure attracted me to Hemingway was his crisp, punchy writing style with its short, easy-to-digest sentences, a technique that almost certainly stemmed from his days as a journalist. One way or the other, it certainly seemed to work well with my limited attention span. In fact, one of the only pieces of prose I have ever committed to memory was a whole short story often attributed to Hemingway. Okay, maybe this is a bit of a reach, as it was, after all, only 6 words long, but it does support the point that shorter is more memorable. The story goes that in the 1920s, colleagues of Hemingway's bet him that he couldn't tell a complete story in just 6 words. They had to pay up on the bet after they read what some consider to be his finest work. What he wrote was the heart-rending, "For Sale, Baby Shoes, Never Used." Had he told this same story in even 20 words, I doubt it could have been anywhere near as poignant as it is in 6, and I, for one, certainly wouldn't still be talking about it 50 years after I first read it. Inspired by the recollection of this mini-classic, I recently ran a contest on my blog soliciting my online followers, sorry, but something about that term always sounds so incredibly pompous, to write a short story. And being the generous soul that I am, I even gave contestants one more word than Hemingway had to play with. They were given 7 days to write a 7-word story, with the winner getting a pair of tickets on a very short flight on one of our Virgin Airlines. The level of response we received was incredible. Quite a few of them were brilliant, but regrettably not suited for reprinting in a book that might be read by children. There were also a lot of really fun ones, like L.C. Muninka's wonderful "The Vegetarian Butcher Entered, the Chicken Cheered." You can just see it happening. The winner, however, came from Sarah, who, like Hemingway before her, chose to tug at the emotions with the tragic. Holding hands, they laughed. Watching, I cried. Sob. While inventing these ultra-short stories makes for a really fun dinner party game, you can also try it on your mission statement writing team. Okay, now please go back to the drawing board and reduce this 560-word mission statement to just 10. When they've picked themselves up off the floor, you can always back down and show your conciliatory side by saying, "Okay, what the heck, I'll give you 25. In all seriousness, though, it's not just mission statements. The PowerPoint culture in which we live has got completely out of hand. The hours that people take putting the things together with all kinds of charts, graphics, and illustrations would be much better spent boiling the presentation down to its essence that they could put on 2 rather than 32 slides. So, practicing what I preach, let me summarize in 7 words, keeping it short goes a long way. Criminal neglect. There is a lot to be said for the sheer simplicity of these old heraldic mottos. Of course, the practical reality that they had to fit across the bottom of a coat of arms ensured they were always concise and punchy. While Hemingway's 6 words may be pushing it, brevity is certainly a key to a good mission statement. As such, Twitter's 140-character template is a good place to start drafting that inspirational message. Not only will a long drawn-out diatribe fail to inspire and motivate employees, if they ever even read it, but, as one UK police chief recently discovered, it may also attract a lot of attention for quite the wrong reasons. The UK's Warwickshire Police outsourced the job of coming up with a new mission statement, and the result was so outstanding that the piece was soon nominated for a national award. Unfortunately, however, the UK's infamous Golden Bull Award exists to recognise excellence in gobbledygook. And as the nominating committee pointed out, not only was the rambling, 1,200-word epistle filled with buzzwords and jargon, but, somewhat surprisingly, the word crime was conspicuous by its absence. One mission fits all. Another pet peeve of mine with mission statements is their tendency to be totally interchangeable between competing companies, with no differentiating characteristics whatsoever. For example, pharmaceutical giant Bristol Myers has, or at least had, a mission statement that reads, "To discover, develop, and deliver innovative medicines that help patients prevail over serious diseases." Well, you certainly can't argue with that. At the same time, however, couldn't the identical mission statement be claimed as their own by just about every drug company on the planet? Just swap out Bristol Myers for Pfizer or Bayer, and before you know it, you have a one-sentence-fits-all industry-wide mission statement, but not something that is unique to any single player. At the opposite end of the scale is the company that tries too hard, only to fail by dint of what I'd describe as flowery waffle. An example of this would be, "Yahoo powers and delights our communities of users, advertisers and publishers, all of us united in creating indispensable experiences and fueled by trust." Sounds wonderful, but what does it actually mean? Whoever writes the mission statements at Yahoo would have done better to listen to their own CEO, Marissa Meyer, who in a recent speech said, "Yahoo is about making the world's daily habits more inspiring and entertaining." Far from perfect, but at least it would be a step in the right direction. Writing an effective mission statement is not an easy task. But, as my late dad used to love to say, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. One of the primary roles of a mission statement has to be explaining the core purpose of a company and outlining expectations for internal and external clients alike. Finding the right tone, content, balance, and length, ideally somewhere closer to a motto than an employee handbook, can be a daunting task. I have seen an amazing number of mission statements that might start out on the right track, but then succeed in blowing the whole thing by saying stuff like, "We must provide services and products that consistently match our customers' expectations." Are they serious? While the whole subject of defining expectations can be a tricky one, why would any right-minded company strive to merely meet customer expectations? Shouldn't they be pulling out all the stops to exceed them each and every time they interact with a customer? An active mission. An example of precisely this latter approach can be found at Virgin Active, our international chain of health and fitness clubs. Powered by the inspirational leadership of Matthew Bucknell and his incredible team all around the world, Active is one of our greater success stories in the way it has managed to encapsulate all the very best things the Virgin brand stands for. In other words, every Active club is a living, breathing mission statement for the customer service excellence the Virgin brand delivers in all its many incarnations. And as statements go, living up to it every day is a lot more important than writing even the cleverest words and then locking them away in a drawer. Virgin Active set out with an extremely simple business plan that doubled as a mission statement of sorts. It read, "We want to create the first global comprehensive consumer-led branded health and fitness facility, readily accessible to a wide socio-demographic group at a price consumers are willing and able to pay." Feeding off the back of this, Matthew and team put together a document they dubbed The Guide. This is not some kind of employee manual to take home and forget. It is very much a, dare I say, active, working document that is designed to inspire new and existing Virgin Active employees to dive into the deep end and totally immerse themselves in the brand expectation pool. It does talk to a few slightly airy objectives, like enriching people's lives through activeness, a word coined by Matthew and team, but it's the thou shalt and thou shalt not sections that really delineate the gospel to which active employees aspire. The thou shalt section implores active's people to be genuine, be yourself, give your full attention, find common ground, try to remember faces, be empathetic and remember everyone's different. Share what you know. Notice how you're coming across. Build up relationships. Have fun. The thou shalt not list is shorter, but asks staff not to fob people off, force the fun, act unnaturally or talk like it's scripted, interrupt, be elitist, be too busy, take it personally if people don't want to chat. So rather than hitting new employees up with an ill-conceived blah mission statement like Virgin Active is committed to providing the greatest health and fitness club experience to every member every day, the guide is a smorgasbord of bite-sized, easy-to-digest and very pragmatic mini mission statements that also act as calls to action. It also manages to keep it very real by saying things like, as much as we like to think we're a pretty great company and we want you to love coming to work every day, we can't expect you and our members to love us unconditionally. We've got to earn it. The simple fact is that as important as a good business plan and a clearly defined corporate mission might be, both are worthless unless they are woven into the fabric of your people's daily lives. For this to happen, it takes strong leaders at every level of the organization who recognize that one of their key roles is to continually reinforce the importance of remaining faithful to the corporate creed. To put it differently, a well-written mission statement can be a helpful management tool, but only if it can be used to lock in a high level of mission commitment from the staff and is reinforced by senior management at every opportunity. A man, a plan, a manifesto. Along with Hemingway's six-word story, the other piece of clever writing that stuck with me from school was the longest palindrome, something that reads the same backwards as forwards, I have ever seen. It reads, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama. But I am getting off track. As memorable as they might be, I am not suggesting palindromes would make good mission statements, but when I first read Active's guide document, it struck me that it was neither a mission statement nor an employee handbook. If anything, it could probably be best described as a manifesto. Hopefully that word hasn't been too tarnished by the way it is used by a lot of politicians running for office, where the definition of a manifesto would frequently be a series of empty promises. I have to say, though, that given the paucity of good mission statements out there, the time may be ripe for a change, and so manifestos may be the way to go. Certainly in popular usage at least, a manifesto does seem to imply much more of a call to action than any mission statement, however well written. So consider, if you will, the manifesto produced by Ron Faris, who was formerly head of marketing for Virgin Media and has just started Virgin Mega, one of our newest businesses. Its purpose is to sell, oops, Ron wouldn't approve of that word, its purpose is to enhance the discovery of all things around music. It features a mobile app where fans can get in line online to acquire limited edition goods, play all kinds of fun games, and enter contests to jump the queue. It also features real-life bricks-and-mortar pop-up stores with all kind of limited edition clothing, art, concert tickets, etc., around specific popular artists and upcoming shows, where waiting in line is an important part of the mission, a visual demonstration of your fanaticism. There is also a website where fans can get in-line online to acquire the same kind of limited edition goods and play all kinds of fun games and contests to jump the line. But let me have Ron explain it as he does in his manifesto, which I found to be an extremely emotive document. These days, too much is for sale. More energy is spent on the convenience of what to buy rather than the passion for what you're buying. Nothing stands for anything anymore. Everything is everywhere. Convenience has no soul. It's time to take retail back. Take it all underground. If the world is about ubiquity, then we're about scarcity and intimacy. Virgin Mega sells products inspired by bands and pop culture that you can't find anywhere else. We thrive on the now. Not what's coming in 10 minutes or what happened 10 minutes ago. It's about what's about to happen. That moment between the line you waited in for hours and its epic payoff. The hype. Virgin Mega is not about shopping. It's about hunting and coveting. True fans wait in line, in rain, a lot, because they care. And sometimes what you go through to get the things that rock is just as rewarding as what you get. It's the experience, the friends and things you discover while waiting in that line. Virgin Mega is for the fanatic, whatever makes you tick. The more you love music, the more we love you. We'll bring you closer to the artists you love by serving up clothes, kicks, art, and tickets, all inspired by the music and pop culture you dig, and all of it fueling the addiction you have to lifestyle. All our products are limited and numbered. Sometimes what we sell won't be easy to find, and sometimes, if you're not paying attention, they'll vanish before your eyes, forever. You'll have to pay attention. You'll have to prove your fanship. You'll have to wait in line a lot. And you'll love every minute of it. Come hang at Virgin Mega. Unlock what rocks. So if that isn't enough to move you over to pithy, engaging manifestos rather than old-fashioned, wimpy mission statements, then I suspect you're a lost cause. I'm kidding, of course, but if you must have a mission statement, above all else, I urge you to keep it real, make it unique to your company, and keep it concise. And when you've done all that, just for fun, give it what I call the escutcheon test. Try to imagine it on the bottom of a heraldic coat of arms. Maybe it's a throwback to my old school motto or something, but I have always thought that if the Virgin Group were ever to adopt such a motto, then something along the lines of Ipsum sine timore consectetur would look incredibly impressive on a scroll right below our familiar red Virgin logo. Loosely translated from the Latin, this means, screw it, let's do it. And, as mission statements go, that's about as real as it gets.